Well, good morning and welcome to Thursday morning as we start another work day. And just want to address the news that we're talking about this morning, the loss of another true community builder in our province, Joseph A. Ramey, who is proudly originally of Carrot River, but in Saskatoon, but very, very philanthropic through the years. Passed away this past week at the age of 89, his family announcing that he died after a battle with Parkinson's. But the amount of things that this leader, this visionary, has done for the province, for the city of Saskatoon, a real estate developer, but founder of many philanthropic donations and causes. $25 million donation to Sask Polytech to support local hospitals. He had major, major impact. And so I join with the rest of our team here at the radio station and this province as we pay respects to a great leader. Sorry to hear of the passing of Joseph Ramey. His family continues to do great things in our province and continue to be very, very giving, but really a legacy, I would suggest, that was started by Joseph himself. We'll miss him in our community. Well, yesterday there's a few different things happening from a provincial standpoint. We saw Premier Scott Moe holding a meeting in the border city in Lloydminster with Alberta's Premier Danielle Smith. Essentially, they talked about some joint messaging to Ottawa, reducing some of the regulation that is in place, finding ways to fast track that northern corridor, looking to try and connect Saskatchewan, Alberta to C2C. These are not necessarily brand new things, but I would say it was a magnified and a bit of a louder voice. And then during my show yesterday, you might remember this, just before lunch, I had Brian Zinchuk pop on because he had sent me a message in the morning and said, hey, I don't know if you saw this or not, but recently an email and a piece of communication went out to Sask Power employees letting them know that Saskatchewan would be actually rebuilding its coal fleet and stepping into coal energy production in a bigger way, in a deeper way, which is not necessarily surprising. I think we'd heard some indications of this, but this seemed like a much more formalized announcement and probably even taking it a step further, which is a great reason to have my next guest to join us this morning. I'm happy to have Minister Jeremy Harrison joining us, Saskatchewan's Minister of Crown Investments Corporation and Minister responsible for Sask Power, joining us by phone. Minister, thank you for taking the call.
Oh, absolutely, Evan. Great to be here.
So yesterday, we learned about a message that you had sent out to people, I believe, in Sask Power about the future of energy production in the province. Can you give us just a little bit of the background behind the reason that communication went out?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've been doing a lot of work over the last number of months and what the future of power generation is going to look like here in Saskatchewan, and I had the opportunity to go down and speak to our employees at Boundary Dam and at Poplar River and at Shand. And what I had committed to them is that the government would provide an answer for the 1,100 plus folks who are directly employed by Sask Power in those facilities, that we would have an answer what their future was going to look like by the beginning of summer. So by July the 1st was the date that I provided to them. So really what we're doing was keeping that commitment to our employees that they would have an answer. And for folks who are, you know, really making some very long-term decisions about what their future was going to look like, it was really incumbent, and I felt it incumbent to communicate that and really lay out the reasons why we've made the decision to life extend our coal assets as we bridge to a nuclear power production future. And really that's based on energy security. The government made a policy decision based on the principles of energy security and reliability that we were going to life extend our coal assets. We have multi-hundred years supply of coal in this province. It's what we have. And I would say that this wasn't an ideological decision. This was a realistic decision. If we had natural gas here in the province, well, in great quantity, that would have been a probably an easier path forward. If we had hydro like British Columbia or Quebec, that probably would have been an easier path forward. But what we have is coal. And we own it. The people of this province own it. We know where it is. We know what it costs. It was the same 20 years ago as it will be 20 years from now, which is zero because we own it. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason we made the decision to go in the direction that we are.
Minister Jeremy Harrison is my guest. There's no doubt it's a big part of energy production. I've talked about this online a few times, Minister, that I had the opportunity to tour around Westmoreland down in Estevan and the coal mine last year, and so impressed with the work they do. Not surprised to hear they would like some sort of an understanding of how long this is going to be going and happening. When I had Brian Zinchuk on the show, who I know you know quite well, he called this the biggest energy policy decision in our province in the last decade. Would you agree?
Well, it really is. This is a very, very significant decision about what the future of power generation is going to look like. This is a very significant decision in a whole number of different contexts. But, you know, you referenced Westmoreland, and I would say as well, we worked very, very closely with the United Mine Workers, for example, with IBEW, who have been great partners, I can tell you, through this process, with the communities, with the city of Estevan, with the RM of Estevan, with the town of Coronach. Our municipal leaders have been very, 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 very supportive of the direction that we're going in. We obviously informed them as well about this decision, and I think it would be fair to say that they are very, very supportive about the direction. So, you know, really, it is a very, very significant decision, and we are going to be securing the long-term future of our baseload power generation in this province. Really, in all of the above approach, we're going to continue, and I just announced some renewable projects a few weeks ago. There are going to be more. We continue with our natural gas and hydro, and we just did a new biomass project. We have at Aspen Power Station, a new project under construction right now. So really, this is an all of the above approach, but at the end of the day, what's most important is that people need to know that their lights are going to come on and they're going to be able to power their home. And, you know, the worst case scenarios are kind of a January 20th, it's minus 40, it's 6 o'clock, people are getting back home from work. You're generating no solar because it's dark out. You have to shut down your wind turbines when it's that cold. They don't operate in weather that's cold. So what do you have? You have to have baseload power generation that will be available at the uppermost maximum of your demand curve. And really, in those scenarios, about half of the power in this province is being produced by coal. And that is not replaceable in the short or long term. And frankly, the federal government, with their clean electricity regulations, would make all of that, in their view, they say that should all be illegal. They have no standing in this discussion. This is a clearly provincial area of jurisdictions, explicitly in the Constitution that this is provincial. We've informed them of the direction we're going in. The announcement that was made yesterday will be no surprise to the federal government. I've directly engaged with my counterparts in telling them that we are going in this direction and our view that they have no constitutional jurisdiction in this area as well.
Minister Jeremy Harrison is my guest, Saskatchewan's Minister of Crown Investments Corporation. So the understanding that I think a lot of times the net zero goal was in many ways too aggressive. The timeline was too aggressive. And so I'm not necessarily shocked, surprised, or bothered by this decision. I was, though, Minister, shocked by how it came out. You yourself saying this is probably one of the biggest policy decisions that you've made regarding energy in the last decade. Why not do a media conference on it? Why not let media ask questions? It came out through a communication through government employees.
Yeah, well, I said, my commitment to our employees was that they would find out first. And that was why the letter was sent to all of our employees at Coronach, at Poplar, at Shand, at Boundary, and then through the entire company. So that was my commitment. Happy to talk about it publicly, which is what we're doing here right now as well. And I'll be doing, I'm sure, a number of other media interviews as we go forward. I'm more than happy to talk about it. I think this is the exact right decision. But the commitment I gave was to our employees that they would find out first, and they did.
Minister, the other part of this is we have been watching what appears to be, you have a better seat for it than I do, a better relationship, an enhanced relationship between Saskatchewan and Ottawa. It seems as though, although political stripes don't exactly align, Premier Moe, Prime Minister Carney seem to be setting off on a bit of a joint understanding of each other's needs. Do you worry that this announcement and a bit of a poke at the feds through this will set us back?
No, I don't. Like I said, I've been directly engaging with my ministerial counterparts and with senior officials in the Prime Minister's office on this for months, at least since the election campaign and in the lead up to the election campaign federally. So this is no surprise to the national government. I would even say I think they have a very real understanding as to why we need to go in this direction. You know, what they will say publicly, I guess they will say publicly, but this is not a surprise to them about the direction that we're going in. So I would say as well, I mean, even you referenced it in the lead-in to the interview about the meeting we had yesterday, a joint caucus meeting with Alberta, very, very good discussions. I am encouraged as well. I can tell you I've had some very encouraging meetings and conversations with federal counterparts. I'm encouraged by what we're hearing, but we do need to start seeing some action. And I think that really was the message from Premier Smith and Premier Moe yesterday, is that, you know, we are encouraged by the discussions that we're having, but we really need to start seeing action from the Government of Canada in actioning and implementing some of the conversations that we've been having. So, you know, I'm a bit from Missouri on this one. You'll have to show me, and I'm hopeful that they do. And this will likely be one of the points of discussion we continue on. But I would say this, as part of those discussions with federal counterparts, ministers, I'm very hopeful, and I think that there is a very real opportunity to genuinely partner with the Government of Canada on nuclear deployment, not just here in Saskatchewan, but across the country. Met with Minister Neudorf yesterday as well from Alberta. We had a very good discussion on nuclear and what our joint future might look like in that space. I really think that there's an opportunity here as we bridge to nuclear to work with the federal government in a genuine partnership on how we can make that work.
Minister Jeremy Harrison is my guest. We don't have a lot of time left, but I'm curious. This is not just a continuation of coal, but this is actually a rebuild of the coal fleet in a couple of different areas. Have you got a timeline? Have you got a budget attached to this, Minister?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer on timeline is that we need to replace our coal generation megawatt for megawatt with new build nuclear. That is really kind of the time frame. So there are, you know, a number of X's in the equation on that time frame, because we're going through, you know, on the SMR project, the first one is being built in Darlington right now by OPG. So, you know, I would love to see nuclear deployed as quickly as we can. But the reality with nuclear is that this is a process that takes, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. But we're working through that, and as quick as we can get there, we will. On the financial part, obviously we've done, you know, work on this, and I would say, you know, there are a number of different intangibles in all of that, but, and I would preface even this by saying that the reason we have made this decision really is predicated on energy security and reliability, but likely the capital cost for refurbishment will be like less than half of what it would be for new build gas to replace it with. So, you know, I think there's a very clear case on the affordability front as well. But really, we made this decision based on the energy security and reliability imperatives for our grid.
All right. Well, we're up against the clock. Minister, I appreciate you giving us some time today.
Absolutely, Evan. Appreciate it, too.
Minister Jeremy Harrison, Saskatchewan's Minister of Crown Investments Corporation. So the announcement came yesterday. We're not getting rid of coal when it comes to power production in the province. In fact, we will actually do some rebuilding to ensure that we can enhance it, maybe get it closer to bridging when the transition to nuclear happens. Do you support this? Is this a good idea? I know I've got texts coming in already, people saying this is absolutely the right decision. I'd love to hear from you. We're going to keep the phone lines open for a little bit here. 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.